When I first met Susan Travers in a Paris nursing home in 1999, she was a papery-skinned 90-year-old who spoke with a cut-glass English accent. Unable to walk, she insisted that before we began to talk, I wheel her to a local restaurant for lunch. There can have been few in the suburban bistro who gave this frail old lady a second glass as she ate her omelette and drank a glass of champagne. Unless, that is, they noticed the small coloured ribbons pinned to the lapel of her tweed suit. One defined her as a recipient of the Légion d'honneur, a French military honour established by Napoleon. Others were for the Médaille Militaire and the Croix de Guerre. But the last red and blue ribbon was unique. It identified Susan as the only woman in the French Foreign Legion. The daughter of a British admiral, Susan was born in southern England, but raised as a young tennis-playing socialite in the south of France. At the outbreak of the Second World War, she was among thousands of women who joined the French Red Cross. Initially trained as a nurse, which she spurned for being far too messy, she switched to the more exciting role of ambulance driver, joining the French Expeditionary Force to Finland to help in the Winter War against the Russians. When France fell to the Nazis, she made her way to London and signed up with General de Gaulle's Free French and was attached to the 13th Demi-Brigade of the Légion Étrangère, which sailed for Africa. Volunteering as a driver to the brigade's senior officers, she exhibited such nerves of steel in negotiating minefields and enemy attacks that she soon earned the affectionate nickname La Miss by her 1,000 or so male comrades who regarded her as an honorary member. After an affair with a white Russian prince who was later killed at El Alamein, Susan was assigned as the driver to Colonel Marie-Pierre Koenig, and the greatest love affair of her life began. Attached to the 8th Army and dispatched to hold the desolate desert fort of Bir Hakeim in Libya, Koenig's forces were almost pounded to dust by Rommel's Africa Corps in what became one of the greatest sieges in the history of the Western Desert. With Stuka planes, panzer tanks and heavy artillery at their disposal, the Germans expected to take the fort in 15 minutes. In what became a symbol of resistance across the world, the brave Free French held it for 15 days. Refusing to leave her lover's side when the handful of female nurses were ordered to evacuate the camp, Susan stayed on in Bir Hakeim, the only woman among more than 3,500 men. Her fellow soldiers dug her into a coffin-sized hole in the desert floor, where she lay in temperatures of 51 Celsius for more than 15 days, listening to the cries of the dying and the wounded. When all water, food and ammunition had run out, Colonel Koenig decided to lead a breakout through the German minefields and three concentric rings of panzer tanks. As his driver, Susan was ordered to take the wheel of his battered old Ford and lead the midnight escape on June 10, 1942. The convoy of vehicles and men was quickly exposed to the enemy when a mine exploded beneath one of their trucks. Barely able to hear Pierre above the noise of bullets peppering her vehicle, Susan eventually heard him shout, "If we go, the rest will follow." She floored the accelerator and bumped off across the barren desert. "It's a delightful feeling going as fast as you can in the dark," she said later. "My main concern was that the engine would stall." Under heavy machine gun fire, she finally burst through enemy lines, creating a path for the rest to follow. Only stopping when she reached an Allied camp several hours later, she counted 11 bullet holes and severe shrapnel damage to the vehicle. Almost 2,500 troops had escaped with her, and to mark their extraordinary feat, de Gaulle promoted Koenig to the rank of general. Hardly even saying goodbye, he left Susan to return to his wife and a life of high office. Broken-hearted, Susan stayed on with the Legion to see action in Italy, Germany and France, where she drove a self-propelled anti-tank gun and was wounded after driving over a mine. After the war, she wanted no other life and made a formal application to the Legion to become an official member, cleverly omitting her gender. The man who rubber-stamped her admission knew and admired her from Bir Hakeim. After creating her own uniform, Susan became the first and only woman ever to serve with the Legion and was posted to Vietnam for the First Indochina War. It was there that she met and married a fellow Legionnaire, Nicholas Schlegelmilk, who'd also been at Bir Hakeim. They had two sons and lived a quiet life on the outskirts of Paris until their deaths. When I met her in the final years of her life, Susan was at last ready to tell her story, because, as she put it, everyone was gone and I was left alone with my medals. What she wanted most of all, she said, was for her grandchildren to know how wicked she had been. We named her book Tomorrow to be Brave after a line from a favourite poem of Koenig's, which had the single line, "Distrust yourself and sleep before you fight. 'Tis not too late tomorrow to be brave." Susan Travers died in 2003, aged 94, thrilled to have witnessed women routinely join the front lines. Her greatest regret was not to have been born a boy, although she admitted that she would never have done half the things she'd done or enjoyed the life she led subsequently. Susan only ever showed emotion once, when she spoke of her proudest moment. It was in 1956, 11 years after the war. The Legion invited her to Paris to receive the Médaille Militaire for her role at Bir Hakeim. On a bitterly cold day at Les Invalides, as hundreds looked on, including her husband and sons, Susan took her place in the middle of the square, along with dozens of other Legionnaires. Standing to attention, she felt her heart lurch as she saw a lone general in full military uniform walking towards her. It was Pierre Koenig, the lover she hadn't seen in years. Her hands clenched into fists, she stared into his face as he pinned her medal to the lapel of her thick winter coat. Their eyes locked, each one struggling with their emotions, he told her, "I hope this will remind you of many things. Well done, La Miss." Stepping back, he gave her a brisk salute before marching away. It was the last time she ever saw him. Koenig died in 1970, and Susan waited almost 30 years to tell their story of love and heroism. "Wherever you go, I will go too," she had once told him at Bir Hakeim. It was a promise that she kept. Her story is told in my book Tomorrow to be Brave, a memoir of the only woman ever to search in the French Foreign Legion, now available online as an ebook and soon to be a major motion picture.